Can you all hear me? It's great to be here again and to see all your shining faces. The weather was warm yesterday. It's a little bit cooler today, but praise God for the sunshine and for the rain that's on its way. A few spots earlier this morning, and then it stopped. But it's on its way in certain parts, I gather. But lovely to be with you again. And I want to read before I speak from the book of Nehemiah and chapter 1. The book of Nehemiah and chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night, for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.'" Now, this book of Nehemiah, of course, is the story of the cupbearer to the king of Persia, and his name is Nehemiah. When he learns about the fact that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down and its gates are burned with fire, he approaches the king, Artaxerxes, and he's given permission to have time off to organize teams to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And it's quite an amazing story. And I'm going to talk about four persons who are involved in this rebuilding. There are loads and loads of them. And of course, they're ready to fight if necessary, although they're rebuilding these broken down walls. The entire population responded to it, and Nehemiah had made a plea for help and cooperation, and there was a warm-hearted, enthusiastic response to rebuild the broken-down walls of Jerusalem. Each had his job to do and was not envious of a job somebody else was doing. Each person was satisfied with his assignment, and each section of the wall was cared for. Now, there is a sense in 2023, as Christian believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're all builders, spiritually speaking. We're all involved in building and rebuilding broken down walls. As we examine the record throughout these chapters, and I shall be concentrating on chapter 3, the record tells us of those who repaired the wall nearest to their own homes. And we discover that some of their names are very significant. And as I said, four of those names we shall look at in particular. Remember that in the Hebrew tongue, a man's name was often a description of his character. Some of the people in the Old Testament, it seems that their names were prophetic. concerning their characters. But this is true of God himself, for the name of God reveals the character of God. Every name has immense significance in relation to the character of the person, not least the four people that we'll look at this morning. Let's look at the names of four of the many who were involved in repairing the piece of wall that was broken down nearest to their own home. And remember that home is the place where we must begin if we're to know the blessing of God. In chapter 3 of Nehemiah and verse 10, we have a man there called Jediah, J-E-D-A-I-A-H. The name Jediah, I don't know whether there are any Jediahs around today. I've not come across any, but I like the name because I like the meaning of the name. And Jediah means invoker of God, a man who knew how to pray. And we need to pray. We need to be people of prayer. So he's one of the men rebuilding a piece of wall, a section of the wall, in all these teams that Nehemiah has organized. They've a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other because they have to be ready to fight as well as rebuild should they be attacked. But here's Jediah, a man who knew how to pray, a man whose life, it would seem, was founded upon prayer. And he's one of the rebuilders of the broken down walls of the city of God. It reminds us that the wall of prayer life can so easily break down in our lives, in our homes. Family prayer life can lie in ruins in many family situations. But I would encourage you to remember that there must be, and there should be, a cherished time every day when you and your loved ones gather around God's word and kneel together in prayer as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands and wives must be in on this, surely. It may be that we're often too tired, too busy, too rushed to pray. I have my prayer time in the morning, usually between 8 and 9, and the older I've got, and now I'm retired, it's more lengthy than it used to be. When we were younger and had young children, our prayer time was in the evening before we went to bed. There was no other time to do it because the kids wanting our attention the whole of the time, especially before they started school. And we can be too tired and too busy. And I've noticed in my prayer time, we live in what is a fairly quiet area, but sometimes there are certain noises and impacts that can divert my attention when I'm praying. And I sit in a certain chair in a certain room which faces west. And on a morning like this, I've done it this morning, it really is beautiful to sense and know the Lord's presence and power. But so many things can divert our attention. The phone can ring. That can stop one praying. All kinds of things can happen. But remember, home should be a place of harmony. But often there are short tempers and harsh words, and there needs to be that forgiving spirit in the midst of the ongoing prayer life. Home is not what it once was. Perhaps your family have noticed that you've become careless about spiritual things, and that can be related to our lack of prayer life, our lack of communication regularly with the Lord. We can be a loving father or mother and yet far too busy to be an invoker of God, a man, a woman who knows how to pray. So friends, this morning, repair the wall of the family altar, your own individual altar of prayer. We need to be invokers of God, men and women who know how to pray and need to pray for ourselves, for others, for the world, for the church family, for the areas in which we live. May we repair, if it's broken down, the family altar. Jediah, invoker of God, a man who knew how to pray. These four men are all in chapter 3, by the way, amongst the many names that are mentioned. Some of the names are very difficult to pronounce. But in verse 23, there's another character I want to point out to you, and his name is Benjamin. There are several Benjamins in the Old Testament. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. This reminds us that we need assurance, because this lovely name Benjamin means the son of my right hand, the one who is there to protect me. The name Benjamin speaks of divine assurance. The son of my right hand, the one who is there to protect me. Now, my youngest grandson, who is now 6 and a half, his name is Benjamin Alexander. Before he was born, and I'd never been to a shower party before, I was told by my wife and daughter-in-law that they were having a shower party. So I didn't say anything, that I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. So I said to my son, do I need to put my swimming trunks on? Well, he couldn't stop laughing. And we met in a hall in Portslade. I believe it was up at Mile Oak somewhere, I seem to recall. And there were a lot of people there and a lot of young families. There was a lot of chit-chat and a lot of talking. There was some singing and there were some games. And also, we had to fill in some forms and guess what the name of the baby who was to be born, and I was convinced it was going to be a boy, and I was right. And I didn't say anything, and I could see people scribbling down the name that they thought this baby would be, because it could be a girl or a boy, they thought. And I wrote on my bit of paper, and we had to drop them in a big box, I just wrote, Benjamin. Anyway, by the end of the day, my son didn't tell me at the end of the shower party, and by the way, we didn't have a shower. But he rang me up later in the evening. He said, by the way, Dad, he said, I thought you'd be interested to know. It's very significant. He said, you of all people have, that name is right. But you're not to tell anybody. This is not to be made known until after the baby is on the scene. I said, okay, I'll keep it quiet. Not easy to do, is it? But he said, I just wanted you to know, you were the one who got it right and the only one who got it right. And my son isn't a professing Christian. He's a lovely guy. But I said, Tim, you do know what that name means? He said, I'm sure you're going to tell me. I said, it means the son of my right hand, the one who is there to protect me. It means divine assurance. And lo and behold, not long after, this lovely little boy, our third grandson, we had three grandsons and then three granddaughters in that order. So he was the third grandson. And I've been able to tell him to his face, and he looks at me, he said, that's nice, Pops, isn't it? I said, it's a lovely name with a lovely meaning. I said, and don't forget the importance of your name, Ben. We all call him Ben, but his name is Benjamin. Now, what does this teach us? It teaches us that we can have the most comprehensive insurance cover and still not know and follow the Lord. Is the wall of protection broken down in our lives and our homes because we are not in touch with the Lord? All the insurance and assurance policies in the world cannot give you divine cover, divine protection by the Lord himself. Now, my mind goes back over 50 years. I left school 52 years ago. My maths teacher was a man called Ernie Powell, and he was a lovely man. He was really great. He died many, many years ago. And I believe he was a Christian too. And he taught us, and I remember this so clearly, as far as he said, there was a clear distinction between an assurance policy and an insurance policy. And this was in our maths lesson. He said, you assure your life and you insure your property and possessions. Now, when I mentioned this to an insurance man some years ago when I was taking out another policy, I said, well, there is a distinction. Oh, no, no, he said, that's all in the past. He said, it's all insurance, mate. I said, oh, well, when I was at school, we were taught to assure our lives, an assurance policy, and insure our property and possession. No, 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 it's all insurance, he said, and laughed I think he thought I was a bit of an idiot, you know. But that's what I was taught in school, and I've never forgotten it. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 12, there was given a blessing to another Benjamin, and he was one of the sons of Jacob. In fact, he was the youngest of the 12 sons of Jacob. And it says in Deuteronomy 33, 12, it's the blessing of Jacob upon his son Benjamin. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Wow, that's lovely. What wonderful protection that is, to dwell between the shoulders of the Almighty. Why is that so wonderful? It is because it gives us the picture of the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, our Lord, going out and seeking the lost sheep or lamb. We have that clear description in the Gospel, in the New Testament. And the true, genuine good shepherd goes and seeks and finds that lost sheep or lamb. He searches for it until he finds it. If it's injured in any way, whatever its needs, they are met by the divine protection of the good shepherd. And he picks it up, that injured sheep or lamb, and puts it on his shoulders with the belly of the sheep in the nape of his neck, and he holds its feet over his heart. It reminds us that Benjamin, and the meaning of the name Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him all the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders as wandering, straying sheep, which we can be at times. The Lord will seek after us and bring us home and bring us safely back into the fold, into the sheepfold. He will carry us if it's necessary, and he will protect us. And we'll be so closely entwined to the good shepherd that we'll hear his heartbeat, because our belly will be in the nape of his neck and he'll be holding our feet over his heart. The safety and security of the shepherd. Benjamin, the son of my right hand, the one who is there to protect me. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. What wonderful protection. Now, to dwell between the shoulders of the Almighty, remember, it's the picture of the lost sheep being rescued by the shepherd and carried home to safety between the shoulders of that shepherd. This is the assurance of the Almighty God. And this assurance brings absolute protection, not necessarily from illness, poverty, and pain, but always from worry, fear, and friction. So the lesson here this morning concerning Benjamin is the wall of protection must be built or rebuilt in your life and mine, in our homes and in our communities. And we must commit the ruin of the disintegration into the hands of God. Benjamin dwelt in safety by the Lord between his shoulders, near to the heart of the Lord. Does your life and mine, your home and mine, have that divine assurance? It can, if our trust is in him, the Saviour of the world, our Lord. Thinking about the prayer, Jediah, invoker of God, and Benjamin reminding us of assurance, I'm reminded of an old lady up in the north of England. She lived opposite the Baptist church, in a town which shall remain nameless. And near to her, just a bit further along the street, they lived opposite the Baptist church, was one of the church leaders. But every Monday night, this old lady, by then in her 80s, crossed the street and she went to the prayer meeting. Every Monday night, she went to the prayer meeting. The deacon who lived further along the road, who should also have been at the prayer meeting but never went, he observed this week after week. And one Tuesday morning, she was out on the pavement and he said, at the prayer meeting last night? Oh, yes, she said. How many were there? Knowing full well, he knew that only she was at the prayer meeting, because he'd watched her from his window. Many there? Yes, four, she said. Four? Yes, four. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and me. He never said any more, and he never made any more sarcastic comments to her. But I want to add that as a result of her persistence and perseverance in going to the prayer meeting alone, eventually, gradually, slowly, others joined her. And the prayer meeting grew, and as a result, the church grew. Now, I'm in a church of recent times in which we're very happy, and I won't mention where that is. But I've noticed in the prayer meeting, on a Sunday morning, there's only a handful of us. And I'm thinking, well, we've got 120 members, where are they all? There'll be no blessing and no progress and no moving forward without the power and persistence of prayer. Not that we pray to manipulate God, but we pray to know and understand his will. And he hears and he honours and he answers prayer. And he will do for each and every one of us. And we'll see the mighty moving of the Spirit as a result in our lives as individuals, in our churches, in our communities, in our world. For our world is in a terrible mess. And that's why we need to be Jediahs, invokers of God. We need to be Benjamins, full of divine assurance. But we also need to be Zadoks. Anybody here this morning who's a Zadok? No, I've not come across any Zadoks. Verse 29 of chapter 3. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, near to his house. Zadok, integrity. Zadok means justice or integrity. Is the wall of integrity and justice broken down in our lives and families? In some cases, sadly, it is, and certainly in our world. Marriage vows and love and faithfulness for the sacred wall of integrity needs to be rebuilt if there is to be blessing. And the grim facts are that sometimes even Christian homes seem only to be held together for appearance sake. Once where there was love, there's coldness and unloving spirit. The broken wall of integrity not only ruins our testimony, it ruins and is a blight on the whole witness of the church. But how precious is the home and the church where there is no secret, but rather complete confidence and trust and respect, integrity and justice. Zadok. Notice that Zadok was the son of Immer, I-M-M-E-R. The name Immer simply means talkative. And so we can infer that he had a problem with his tongue. For the tongue misused can be a powerful weapon of destruction. Is the wall of integrity broken down? Is there gossip? It needs to be overcome. It needs to be confessed. In a real Christian home, parents will not criticize the preacher in front of the children. They won't have roast preacher for Sunday lunch. Now, I've witnessed that over the years, and you probably have too. But it shouldn't be allowed, and it shouldn't happen, but it does. All preachers deserve criticism, including me. But prayer needs to be offered up, not criticism. If you have something to say critically to the preacher, well, say it to him, not about him or her. It's important, isn't it? It's vital. I've done it, you've done it, we've all done it. In a God-honouring home, fellow Christians are not maligned, nor the church pulled to pieces. Maybe we've been careless, flippant, gossipy. Are we ready, again, to build up the wall of integrity and justice? I grew up in a village where everybody knew everybody else's business. It's not like that now. I was saying this to Sue earlier. Some of our villages have changed quite drastically, and people are coming into the villages and buying all the large, costly properties that the villagers themselves can't afford to buy, and that's quite sad in a way. But the village I grew up in Cheshire, everybody knew everybody else's business. They could almost tell you what you were going to do before you'd done it, if you know what I mean. And I remember we were all boarding the coach to go on the Sunday school outing to Rhyl. And it was the organist, actually, from one of our churches. He came on board. He said, "Nora Clark's died this morning." Now, Mrs. Clark had never had good health. She was the wife of the builder. And we all said, "Oh, we're sorry to hear that." And I wasn't very old, but I knew Mrs. Nora Clark, and I knew her husband even better, because my father had worked for him on occasions. And off we went on the Sunday school trip to Rhyl, always went to Rhyl, and got sunburnt, had plenty of ice cream, and salmon for tea, I seem to recall, at the sports cafe, as was then. And went on that railway, that miniature railway around the lake before we got back on the coach to come home at night with all that flink pink fluff the girls used to buy. What was it called? On a stick, made from sugar. The next day was Sunday. Come Monday, my mother went to the butcher's in the village to buy some sausages. And standing next to her was Mrs. Nora Clark. It wasn't the first time in our village people had had somebody dead before they were. And do you know she lived? In fact, I discovered recently she died in the 1990s, so she lived another 30 years. We've got to be careful on the gossip as Christian believers. Integrity, justice, truth, and righteousness. Be a Zadok. And finally and quickly in verse 30, and I will be quick, there is a man called Meshullam. Anybody here called Meshullam? Well, it's a strange name, but I rather like it, because Meshullam was the son of Berechiah, and he repaired the piece of wall that was near his chamber, the authorized version said. In other words, he lived in a one-room apartment. And Meshullam means devotion. We need devotion. Apparently this man, Meshullam, lived in a one-roomed apartment alone, referred to in the authorized version, in the King James version, as his chamber, a one-roomed apartment. And perhaps a very little part of the work was allotted to him, but he was involved in the rebuilding of the broken-down walls. And he may have felt insignificant, but his name means devotion. Devotion. His father's name was Berechiah, which means the Lord has blessed him. And the blessing of the Lord upon a home, upon a church, does not depend upon the size of one's dwelling place. A humble little apartment was Meshullam's home, but his name speaks of his character, devotion. His life was one of utter and absolute dedication. And perhaps he was content to have his home small because he lived on a sacrificial level. We're not told the details, but it reminds us that our home can become an idol rather than an instrument. We can sometimes be guilty of living for our home's amenities, its gifts, its equipment, its furniture, its carpets, and yet the wall of passionate devotion to God and his people is broken down. Now, friends, as I conclude, this wall in Nehemiah, which is being rebuilt in Jerusalem, is continuous. The wall is continuous. It reminds us that if there are any gaps, the enemy will break through and break in. So too, if there are gaps in the wall of our devotion and testimony and our walk with God, then repairs must be immediate. Not tomorrow, not next week, next month, or next year. They must be immediate. Faithfulness restored, gossiping stopped. You cannot try to build a wall without a foundation. Every stone that is laid upon another must be built on Christ Jesus our Lord, the only sure and everlasting foundation. Be a Jediah, an invoker of God. Always pray. Be a Benjamin, have divine assurance, dwell between the shoulders of the Almighty. Be a Zadok, a person of integrity and justice. Be a Meshulam, a person of absolute devotion and dedication to God and his people. May these characteristics mark us all out as men and women of God. For Jesus' sake, amen.